You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts. Just letting you know, you need to listen to Knockouts and Three Counts, or you'll see that damn snake again.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Knockouts and Three Counts.
Yes, sir. This is Knockouts and Three Counts. And we're here once again with another episode of Podcast Go, live from the illustrious Podcast Detroit Studios here in Royal Oak, Michigan. Sir, we had a very busy week, the both of us, man. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but we had a special guest on the line. So let's go ahead and do our quick intros. And then we'll talk to our guests and we'll jump into all that stuff from this past weekend after that. But Kyle, why don't you go ahead and start us off, man?
You can find me at Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, Detroit, N-O-K-O-U-T. Make sure you're following the show at KO3C Pod, Knockouts and Three Counts on YouTube, KO3CPod.com. All of them. We're up everywhere.
Hey, Kyle, if I want to buy a house, man, what should I do?
I thought we was going to go halfway through on it. But yeah, if you're looking to buy a house, Stransky & Company Realty, Keller Williams Realty is the way to go. Stransky & Company is the real estate easy button. They are hooking you up with some of the nicest houses in Michigan. You can find them at Stransky & Company on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook. And you can also contact Matt Stransky directly. So like I say, if you're looking to find a house, man, these are the guys to go to. We wouldn't have them on here if we didn't believe in them.
Definitely, definitely. And we'll bring them up again later on in the show. But you can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's D-E-V-I-N-T-H-E 63. You can find me on Instagram at AllSnakeNoSizzle. That's one word. If you want to talk wrestling, make sure you go on Facebook and join the Reality Era news page where we talk all kinds of different topics. Right now, we're going to be talking a lot about Ring of Honor and All Out from this past weekend and various other topics. But speaking of Ring of Honor, Kyle, why don't you introduce our guest, man?
So as you guys know, you got Ring of Honor coming to Dearborn this weekend with us. We've got the muscle of Villain Enterprises. We've got the man
Frankenstein.
You're not lying, man. we've got PCO on the line with us. How you doing, brother man?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Not too bad.
Man, let me just say, man, this is truly an honor, man. I've been a fan of yours since I was a kid, man, since I was like 7 years old, watching you back in the WWF days. And yeah, to get you on the show, man, is definitely an honor, man. So welcome to the show.
All right. I really appreciate the opportunity to be part of the show and share some stories with you guys.
Yeah, well, let me let the people know that Ring of Honor is going to be here this Friday, September 6th at the Ford Performing Arts Center in Dearborn, Michigan. People, go get your tickets now, and you will get to see our guest, Mr. PCO, and the rest of Villain Enterprises on that show. So make sure you go get your tickets right now so you can check out some great action this weekend. And for those of y'all that know, I'm going to be leaving the Michigan area really, really soon. So this might be one of the last opportunities to get to hang out with me, man. So what better way to hang out with your boy than, you know, watching some Ring of Honor wrestling this Friday? So make sure you go get your tickets now. But PCO, man, so what? How often have you been to the Detroit area, man?
Yeah, quite often. I think I was there in 2018 for an indie promotion, and I've been there like many times before with WWE, the old arena, the Joe Louis arena, and haven't been to the new one though. And I got to hang out a little bit with Scotty Bowman and some of the players. They were real big fans of wrestling, and then we always had like a nice treatment, and I had the chance to travel beside Scotty Bowman a few times, some flights, and then sitting in the first class beside him, and that was fun. I mean, because we had him in Montreal before, so for me it was a huge honor. So
yeah, I was about to say, I wouldn't have pegged you as a Red Wings fan. I thought you would have been more of a Montreal Canadiens fan.
Well, yeah, big Vegas, the Knights, Vegas, I really like their team too. I really like their coach, Jared Gallant. I will always be a little bit of a Canadian fan, sort of. There's so many great other teams. So, I mean, I'm not just like one club, you know. I got a few clubs that I like. Okay.
So you mentioned your match here with Ring of Honor and things like that. For younger fans that may not know, you know, you were part of the Quebecers for years with WWE and WCW and various other places. Now that you're back here with Ring of Honor, you know, give us a little bit of a look into what was it that brought you back? What made you come out of retirement, come back to Ring of Honor, and how did the whole PCO character come about?
Yeah, actually, I never really did properly retire. I was just doing a radio show. I think it was in 2011 here in Montreal. I never thought that would make it to whatever Wikipedia, or I don't know where you guys get the news that I had retired at one point in my career. But the fact of the matter is that when I was like 12, 13, 14, had like a huge ambition, a major goal. I really wanted to impact the wrestling business on quite a big scale. And at one point, you know, I became the WWE Tag Team Champions 3 times. So I felt like I was on my way of, you know, getting to achieving my goal. And then after that, I had like a probably almost a year, 8 months undefeated as Jean-Pierre Lafitte, which was a pirate WWE, still,
yes sir,
feuding with the likes of Bret the Hitman Hart and Kevin Nash and Shawn Michaels, and also like Jacques Rougeau did his retirement match, the Mountie, against me at the sold out Montreal Forum 1994, where we were on top of the, you know, on top of the show, on top of the bill, and the whole roster was involved, and, you know, stealing the show. So I had high expectation. I mean, when I was young, but I was on the course too all the way until 95, when I got into a big fight, big arguments with the Clique, with basically where they were, you know, Shawn Michaels and Kevin Nash. Those are the most two that I had, like, didn't get along that well with them. I could cope for a little bit with Razor and the Kid. But, you know, just realized just after that, when everything started to go down south for me and everything went wrong, and I had some tough time in the business, and it felt like all the doors were closing, and then I was trying to reopen it, like in 2003, 2007, 2008, 2009. I've had like a bunch of meetings with WWE and a bunch of tryouts and things like that, but it just felt like the damage was done in 95. And even though I worked out all my my bad hacks, if I could say, because, you know, when you get 25 years old, 26 years old, I think it is still young. And then you start to be, you know, recognized everywhere and famous and being on TV and making, you know, great amount of money. And your life is totally changing overnight. And I just didn't adapt well with all those changes. I kind of lost my sense of humility and kind of forget where I was coming from and what got me there. And then, I don't know, I got into like, started believing in my own publicity, I guess, too much. And then, I just felt like, the whole thing with the Clique, of course, a lot of people didn't like them,
right?
But you know, and I learned quite a lot with this experience. But I'm taking like 100% of the blame on everything that happened, no matter what, just because it was an action reaction, and I should have been better than that. I should have been able to restrain my reaction and to the way I overreacted and things like that. And I lost lose my mind over a few things with them, and I regret that. I mean, I regret, not that I regret, because I wouldn't become who I became.
Right.
I wouldn't become who I become, but it made me who I am today. But that was a huge downfall in my life, where I had to look at myself in the mirror and repackage myself and rebuild myself from ground zero. And so I was trying all those years, and in vain, nothing was coming up, nothing was popping out. And so I was doing that radio interview in 2011, and the host of the show said, "What's going on with your wrestling career?" And I had tried like so many roads and so many routes, and nothing was like coming along. So I think I'm just gonna, probably just, pass on, and probably pass on to some, do something else in my life other than wrestling. And it felt like by letting go and like this goal, this dream that I was holding so hard in my hands that I wanted so badly, just by kind of letting go and setting that, it just, life had so much, I mean, there's so many information about what I wanted to become and what I want to accomplish in this business. And I had submerged my subconscious with so many ideas and images that I kind of let go. And then 2017, I was brought back in the business by accident almost. I didn't even expect anything. I was just like making reports on pay-per-views for WWE. And I was also, making prediction on pay-per-views and analyzing the Monday Night Raws for a website and on YouTube. And then I started to do a couple matches and started to get in shape for matches and really taking this seriously. And I got to go to the Destro's gym. I wanted them to train me because he had to lose he's an old-time strongman, feet of strength, from the old-time feet of strength. There's a federation called old-time strongman, feet of strength. And he was part of that group, and then he lost 162 pounds. So I went to see him, asked him to be my coach, and then just evolve, from doing like some tricks, ripping a deck of cards and bending nails and fry pans and things like that. And eventually I got booked in Indiana by Michael Blendon, Indiana Pro, and Joey Janela was sitting in the stands because he was on the match later on. Just tore the house down. Was invited to do the Joey Janela Spring Break at WrestleMania 34 against Walter, who is the NXT UK champion right now.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And just totally stole the show at the Joey Janela Spring Break 2 New Orleans. It's a big buzz on the net. And I got fully booked for the year 2018, about four shows per week. Fully booked the whole year, and then in 2019, around November, I was discussing contracts with every major companies in the business.
Man, that's
and I decided to go with Ring of Honor.
So it's funny you bring up Joey Janela, because we were just talking with him at Janela Palooza this past weekend in Chicago about that match, because he was talking about it from stage at the after party. So it's funny to hear you bring that up in that Yeah. Right next sense.
Yeah, I mean, well, we got a big friendship, you know, we're really good friends and we're always in touch with each other. And so he was a big major factor in my comeback with GCW and Georgia Spring Break, and along with his partners, Brett Lauderdale and Danny Demento, and just weird ways that my comeback came around because I have worked in 2008 with Marty's Girl and Nicole This in England, and I've wrestled, I think it was in 2009 with Danny Demento and Lewiston, Maine and New Jersey for Indies, and all those guys were like major actors. You know, it feels like sometimes you're doing things that you think, okay, I just lost a year there, or I just lost 6 months, or everything's went down the drain and nothing good's going to come out of that. But in my case, everything that I thought that didn't work out for me kind of worked out like way later on into my life. So it's a big Cinderella story, sort of. So it's pretty crazy.
Well,
so,
Kyle, you've been quiet over there. You got any questions?
Yeah. So what were some of your thoughts on AEW pay-per-view over this weekend, since you've actually, you know, been in the ring and actually know some of the guys are affiliated with AEW? What are some of your thoughts on just their whole, not grassroots, but their whole just, you know, rock star attitude with coming in, starting the promotion, and everything they've been doing?
Well, I think they're doing great, and we'll just need to wait and see when they start on TV, if they can keep that momentum. It feels like, you know, we know all their top stars and all their top talents, and we know guys like Joey and some of the guys that they're very well known on the indies, and we know that they can get the job done. But it will, I think we'll need to see the thickness of the roster week after week, how they're going to evolve and how they're going to get over. Like there's guys there that the mainstream public don't know yet, and that they're super talented, but it's going to be how are they going to be able to get those guys over with their own product now? I think that's the game, you know, that's what everybody's waiting to see. That's what I'm thinking.
So
I don't know what you guys are thinking about the whole thing. I don't know what's your opinion on everything, but and also, like, you know, they're working so hard, they're getting injured, they're going all out, you know, so they're gonna be able to keep on going like that week after week after week. I think they're gonna need like some, you know, help from the rest of the roster eventually, and then we need to see how ready they're going to be to step up the rest of the roster, if they'll be able to step up
so
to the next level.
You were mentioning Marty and Nick Aldis and all those things. Tell us a little bit about how it came about for you to come to Villain Enterprises, and what are your thoughts on you and Brody King being a tag team? Because you guys have been killing it both in NWA and Ring of Honor. Tell me a little bit about how all that came about.
Yeah, me and Brody King, we wrestled each other so many times in 2018. Like he was booked quite full time on the indie scene as much as I was. I mean, he was one of the biggest stars of the indie scene, and so I've wrestled him like MLW probably three times, and Smash Wrestling, which is quite a big company in Canada. They got their TV, you know, TV program and everything. So we were there a few times too. And for the PWG Battle of Los Angeles 2018, we fought each other there. So, you know, when you're against someone all the time, you you get to know that person, and you get to know to get that chemistry as well. So when Marty reached out to me if I was interested by Ring of Honor, and that I had like many other offers, you know, from different other companies, I really wanted to go with Marty because I knew him, and I was watching what he was doing over there. And when I found out it was going to be me, Marty, and Brody King, I knew the chemistry was going to be like super cool, and we would all get along great because we already did before in the past. So that was the main reason why I wanted to go to Ring of Honor.
Well, PCO, I've got one more question about WWF. And honestly, I've been waiting to be able to talk to someone who was in the Brawl for All tournament.
Oh, shit.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, you were in the tournament. You went up against Dr. Death Steve Williams. And first of all, my first question is when they came to you guys with this idea of doing this shoot tournament in the WWF, first, what was your initial thoughts? And then second, what made you decide to get into it?
Well, I got rehired with WWE in 98. For 98, I signed a 4-year contract at 98, 99. And then, but WWE, they always have some windows, you know, in their contract. It's 4 years, but there's always some months where they can decide to apply a cause or something that, if they don't want to. So 98, I did the whole year with Jacques, and then after that they let him go after that year, and they kept me for 99, but they weren't doing anything with me. So out of the blue, I just got a phone call from Bruce Pritchard saying that Vince just had a great idea for myself. And I got super excited. I said, oh, yeah, what is it? And I said, it's going to be 16 guys. It's going to be shoot, fight, takedowns and boxing gloves and 20-ounce boxing glove. And then the winner, if he wins everything, he's got $200,000. He gets paid like $5,000 per match, semifinal and final and things like that, quarterfinals. He had an amount of money everywhere, basically. So he said, are you in? Are you out? Do you want whatever? So I said, yeah, I'm in. So they just called me like a week before the whole tournament was starting. They have no time to get ready for that. Wow. I didn't even know back then what the takedown was or how to take someone down. It was like I was totally like in Canada, it was not much about amateur wrestling, other if you went to amateur wrestling, but it was not part of growing in wrestling like it is in the States, like high school and college and things like that. So,
wait, I didn't know much about that. Do you have any kind of do you have any kind of martial arts background at all, or any boxing or anything like that?
Not at the time, not in 19, I think it was 98 or 99, I don't know, I think it was 1999. I didn't have anything at all back then. I was not doing any Brazilian jiu-jitsu, because now that I'm doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I had to learn the takedowns and things like that, and I had to work with a mature wrestler too, in order to get my new mogi takedowns, and then the takedowns with the gi, they're mostly like some judo throws and things like that, but you can also have wrestling technique. So, but I was not aware of any of that back then. So basically I just went there with my fighting spirit, just whatever I've got, it's like if I would fight in the street or something like that, that's the only thing I had, going for me. So the first round I was like against the guy who was designed to win the whole thing. That was to get Dr. Death over Steve Williams.
Right.
But the whole tournament started on a bet between Bradshaw and Bruce Pritchard in a bar, where Bradshaw was saying that if he was put in real fight, you would clean the whole dressing room. It would win the whole thing. So I guess Brett went to Vince and they discussed that and decided to go with that, thinking that Dr. Depp would win the whole thing because he was a four-time All-American in wrestling and he had played for the Oakland Raiders and NFL football as a lineman. So,
how pissed were they when Bart Gunn actually...
And they gave him like 3 months a training. He was training for the 3 months in Japan for this tournament to get ready for it. And they called me just a week before the tournament.
Ain't that
a lot of guys
shit.
Were
wow.
like you remember Ken Shamrock.
Yep.
Yeah.
Said no, he was not going to be... He was under contract, but he refused. And he even told me, I'm not going to go there and swing gloves with 300-pounder guys. There's no way without, you know, my Brazilian jiu-jitsu, or I'm not just going to go there and swing with those guys. So he didn't want to have anything to do with it. And Dan Severn was in the tournament, but he was, like, only on the ground all the time, was stalling matches. Was there for the win, which is totally understandable, but Vince took him out of there because he wanted more action. So after, I think, his second win or something like that, they took him out of there. And my first fight was against Dr. Death. So Dr. Death was good friends with the Road Warriors back then. Right. So my extreme hawk, just before the fight, came up to me, said, Carl, he says, you don't want to go there and swing with Steve Williams. He's going to get killed, brother, man. This guy's an animal. He's going to kill you. I said, he says, you know, Steve's going to tag you. You just take a dive and you pick up your 5G and that's it. I told Hawk, I said, man, you go back to Steve and just tell him to, you know, I don't give a damn about the $5,000 or not getting, you know, if he hits me, because just tell him anyways, he's in for the fight of his life. I don't give a shit about anything he wants. So I was pretty fired up. And it was funny, just before going into the fighting with Steve Williams, he was like headbutting the lockers and just making it look like he was an animal.
So that's where Goldberg got it from.
I almost went through, I think they stopped the match with the last round. I took him down maybe once or twice. I hit him pretty well a few times. And I was not damaged at all. It was just something where I felt like, they really want him to look good. I'm just not saying that I got screwed, because I think when you're looking at the score, he would have won anyways. But I just felt with like 8 seconds to go, you could have let it run because he was not hitting hard at the end of the fight. So I don't think it was any problem there. But
so what did everybody think of...
They kind of screwed with me because I had brought a coach since I didn't know anything with that. I brought a coach. I played for a flight. I played, you know, for everything. And I didn't eat all day. And then that was supposed to be the week that was supposed to fight Steve. And then they said, no, it's not going to be this week. It's going to be next week. So basically the 1 week preparation turned out into a 2 weeks. But they had, you know... kind of screwed with my brain because I had my coach on the road and they switched the match for the next Monday. So the following Monday, I had to take a generic coach. You know, we had like coaches on one in the blue corner and one in the red corner. And you had to go with those guys, same speech for everybody. Come on, and you got to do this. And gotta do that. It was nothing special. So I wanted to have my own coach, my proper coach, and, someone that I trusted, but that couldn't be done either. So I kind of believe that I could, I said, if I go through the whole thing, you know, might be the way for me to get a push. But
Kyle, what were you going to say?
Anyways,
So
we know the whole story. Bart Gunn won, and he got destroyed by Butterbean.
So what was everybody's attitude backstage about that? Because, like, we've all heard the rumors that it was kind of tailor-made for Dr. Death, and they almost kind of put Butterbean in there kind of as a scab just to go at Bart Gunn because they didn't think he should have won. So what was the, like, attitude?
No, that's not that at all. That's not that at all. After the we had generic coach, where they were boxing coach, but they were the same coach for everybody. They were so surprised by the way that Bart was knocking everybody out. I mean, everybody was doing the bacon dance almost, you know, like you had like Papa Shango doing the bacon, you had like Steve Williams, and you had like Bradshaw. They were like fried on the ring, you know. So they started to believe in their own thing, saying, okay, now the big matchup is going to be Bart Gunn against Mike Tyson. So in the WWE magazine, you had like big pages saying, can Bart Gunn defeat Mike Tyson? So that was the plan. Butterbean was supposed to be a stepping stone for Bart Gunn to go against Tyson later on that year.
Wow.
And when he got totally knocked, like, the thing that happened with Bart too, he said, okay, now I was trying to be more of a boxer instead of being myself. But that one thing that stood out to me, it's like when he was boxing the wrestlers, everybody was like trying to hit him in the rib cage and he wouldn't feel the thing. But as soon as Butterbean put all his weight there in that rib cage that was wide open, he felt it. And then, he went kind of down, and then his jaw was all open for the hook. And that was one in the ribs and a big hook in 12 seconds that was all folded and done. So that's how it went, and that was the story. Was supposed to be Bart and Mike Tyson.
So you mentioned that you've been training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I'm intrigued by this. I got a purple belt myself. Tell me a little bit about how you got in with the Jiu-Jitsu and like how it's helped you in your wrestling style.
Well, like 2011, you know, I figured, okay, it was not, the Hindi wasn't strong at all like it is right now. You didn't have that many companies. You had one company, was WWE. So if they didn't want me, and I've tried so many times to go back there, and it was not happening. So I figured, well, I got to keep in shape, and I got to keep improving my skills. So I had a guy that I knew, which is right now, he's doing like Novo Niao, you know.
Okay.
So we're with Novo Niao. So this guy was at my gym, and just started to roll with some guys, and I kind of liked it because it was close to wrestling. So then I started to do fewer like tournament. You know, I won Montreal like 3 years in a row, I think, with the white belts, heavyweight white belts. And then I went, now I'm like blue belt. So you're ahead of me, but I don't have much time now to roll with the guys and to go to the drills and things like that. But I just thought, you know, that would be a good thing to know and to maybe complement my style. And that was one guy that I met at the gym. But how I met that guy is because the guy who trained GSP had a karate school, but also was doing like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So he was a guy that I knew for a long time ago. So I decided I was going to go there, and I went there and I started my Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at that school, at the karate school where they had Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Was that with
and
Danaher?
Then I met my new teacher who became, who started a franchise for Novo Niao about six, seven years ago. Now it's big. And then sometimes, you know, the guys, the owners from Novo Niao, they come for seminars and things like that.
So was that Donaher that you were training with when you said you were out with GSP's coach?
Stéphane Dubé.
Okay.
That was his first coach ever. Well, GSP started, it was like probably 11, 12. It started with the karate with the Stéphane Dubé the school. And then from there, I know he was making trips to New York and from Montreal to New York, and he was going to the school over there. And I had the chance to train with GSP before his second fight against Matthews. We were probably together for like 2 or 3 months. I was trying to come back in wrestling, so I figured that it'd be good to train with George, but mostly didn't train much jujitsu with him or striking. It was mostly in the gym with weights. And also we used to do a lot of sprints in front of his house, because he was still living with his parents back then.
Well,
it's crazy how everything evolved.
Well, let me swing this back to Ring of Honor. I saw a video of you from, I want to say, 2 weeks ago, and I just posted it on our Facebook page. So make sure you guys go check this out. You're kind of crazy, man. You jumped out of the ring and you landed on your face, and you ended up having to get, I think it was 17 stitches in your eye.
Yeah, 17 stitches. Yeah.
So why are you doing this, sir?
because it was never done before.
No, there might have been a reason for that.
The character one day was Astro, who's my creator, my manager, and the guy who trains me. He's so creative as well, you know, because he's the one who came up with the Frankenstein gimmick. Because I was doing shooting promos for different indie promotions, and he was holding on to the camera. And then he said, "There's something missing in your style." So, training my hands, my strengths, and everything for my hands. So he showed me how to do a deck of cards and roll a fry pan and bending nails. So I'm working really hard with my hand strengths and then starting to do stuff. And then I was getting ready for the Walter match and I wanted to hype it up. So he's hitting me with a fry pan on the chest. I'm holding the straps on a cage squat. You know, I'm doing like abs in a cage squat and I have my elbows on straps. And then hits me once, twice, the fry pan. And eventually I took my arms out of the straps, grabbed the fry pan, rolled the fry pan, and then I started walking, you know, away from him. So he was watching me from behind, and when he cut the tape, you know, like the promo, he says, "Man," he said, "you're Frankenstein. You walk just like him. You move like him, and then you are Frankenstein." He didn't. So I felt that's an ugly guy, though, but that's a cool character, you know? I really like that. I would never said, you know, I would want to be Frankenstein before, but I think now it fits with the age of the character and everything, and I know what I can do, you know? I know I can harden my body, and I always wanted to use my body as a weapon to get to my opponent in order like to get him down. I don't mind if I have to injure me on the process, you know. That's my character that I always wanted to be. And now with the Frankenstein character, which is an extension of totally myself, I can do that and it works. So what happened with the 17 stitches is like, that's why I reposted this week on the Twitter and all the social medias, because you hear Yannick Recabani saying he's got an electrical malfunction because I'm starting to hold my hands like the, because I'm, you know, I got reborn with the electricity and things like that, with cable jumpers and a car battery, and right. I got boosted and I got reborn like that, and right. If I go out of juice or something, then I just need to, you know, reboost me and things like that. So, and sometimes it's like the cores inside are mixing up, because Destro is like like a doctor that doesn't have a license. You know, he does what the best that he can do. And he's kind of, he's great, but he's not that good. He makes mistakes sometimes, and he's trying to perform the monster to the best. That's why it's Perfect Creation 1. But sometimes malfunctions do happen, and I think I've done it in Toronto against Matt Taven, and the crowd really enjoyed it. And I did it in Atlanta. Well, the thing that I didn't know was that usually there's two sets of mattress, the tiny mattress on the cement. They're one by the ring and they're the second one. But because the center stage on the left and the right side, they can only fit, they decided to make all equal. So they decided not to put the second mat. So while I'm flying off the air, I'm saying, oh, there's no mat here. So my head crushes the cement floor. I'm wide open. I'm all buzzed up. And then I decide to finish the match. But, I mean, to me, this could become the new thing in wrestling. I think the crowd will expect that all the time. It's almost
Please don't do this all the
people's
time.
People's elbow please. The rock, you know?
Please do not do this all the time. That's all I... Please don't.
I will.
Oh,
I
man.
Hey, man, the man's a savage.
He's not human.
I mean, I will, because it's such a spectacular thing. It's so out of the box. It's so different.
And, yeah, definitely those words.
There's a reason for it. I'm having a malfunction, but you'll see the crowd now, when they'll see it that I missed, they'll pop, and they'll know that I'm going to run on the other side, and I'll hit it, and they'll go crazy for it. And I just can see that thing growing and growing so big. And I will keep on doing it for sure.
Just don't land on your face this next time, okay? That's all I ask.
Well, I mean, it adds to the drama. The whole thing.
Well,
I mean,
like you talked about with being...
It's so cool. I would have tried to predict something as cool as that, and I couldn't have done it. You know, it just happened, and I'm so happy that it came around like this. Because it created the move even more now. Now it's implanted, you know?
Man, when you come out to the ring, man, whether it's to the, you know, just to your entrance or your matches, man, when we were in New York for Mania, man, your entrance by far was probably the dopest of that whole show, just with you and Destro doing your thing and the electricity through the arena and all that stuff, man. So whatever you're doing, it's working.
Definitely. Well, we're running short on time. So, Mr. Campbell, we'll let you ask the last question. But before we do that, make sure you guys go out and get your tickets for Ring of Honor this Friday, September 6th, at the Ford Performing Arts Center in Dearborn, Michigan. Get your tickets now so you can see PCO.
And Villain jump Enterprises.
Yeah, you can watch PCO jump and hit his face on stuff.
I don't say I'm going to do it like every show, but it's going to be done like a few times during the year for sure.
So my last question will be, are you human?
Are you human? Whack.
No, he's not human. He's Frankenstein.
That's all I
got. Go.
So ask him about Tony's. I don't know what it is.
So. Well, okay. So one of our co-hosts, he's not here today. He wanted to ask about Bash the Terminator. Can you tell us about Bash?
Well, it's my first tour in Japan. It was for Wing for Victor Quiñones, and I got there and Bill DeMott was there, and they decided to put us together as Bash and Crash, the Terminators, and then we had a great time there. It was fun. And he came after that for a few tryouts, WWE. That, I don't know why, because he was such a good worker, and for a big guy, he could move. He was so agile. So for like two, three, four work tryouts, didn't work out for him. And eventually he got a good, you know, a decent push with WCW. And then I met him again and I always got along good with him. I got tremendous respect for him. And I think he's one of a great worker. And that's my story with Bill.
So before we let you out of here, we got to ask you real quick, what are your quick thoughts on your match this Friday? We know you're facing the guys from CMLL. How do you think your crazy style is going to match up? And what do you see for you guys for Villain Enterprises?
I really don't know what to expect as far as matching styles with the CMLL guys. I think it's going to be awesome. I mean, it's just huge, you know, like a great faction. I think we're probably the most right now recognized faction in pro wrestling and Villain Enterprises, you know, four great guys for different reasons. And just matching out with the best that CMLL has to offer, I think it's going to be so interesting. I don't see any other ways around it than a big win for Villain Enterprises.
Awesome. Well, PCO, man, I got to say, man, I honestly didn't know what to expect with having you on the show, but I got to say, I really enjoyed this interview, man. This
likewise.
I really enjoyed this, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that we could talk about that I'm
we got to have
so
you
passionate
come back.
About this business, about my character. I'm having fun. I'm having a blast, you know, discussing that with you guys. So when you're saying something like that, you make my day. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Well, we definitely got to have you back, man. And we can talk more about some of the things that Bruce Pritchard has said about you.
Oh, man. It was cool because I got to work 2018. With Bruce for a whole year almost.
So MLW,
it was
right?
Fun. You know, we reconnected, yeah. And I never mentioned anything from the past to him, but it was just a good time. So, yes, so many inside stories and so many good things that I've seen and witnessed. Anytime, brothers.
Appreciate it.
Thanks well, hopefully lot. We'll link up with you this Friday, ROH Dearborn, Ford Performing Arts Center. We're going to be there. You need to be there, too.
Well, PCL, make sure you let the people know where they can find you on social media and anything that you need to plug and let the people know about.
Well, mostly it's my favorite, you know, social media platform is Twitter at PCO is not human. I'm posting a video with me and Destro Monday night, PCO and Destro every week at around 8 p.m. And also it's on my Facebook, which is PCO is not human, my Instagram, which is PCO is not human as well. So and on YouTube, they're all there after that on the PCO Pierre Carl Ouellette. So just follow me on Twitter and you'll have access to all the other platforms. So that's about it for me.
All right, man. Once again, man, really, really do appreciate this, man. Like I said, we definitely got to get you back on the show, man, and have you tell more stories.
That'd be
man.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Roy.
Thank you. Good. Man.
I mean, I told you as soon as I heard from Mark that we were going to get him, I was excited about that interview just because – I had, like you said, I had no idea what the hell we were about to get.
I tried to talk some sense into him about not jumping on his face, but he wanted no parts of it.
You've got a knack for doing that, and have you noticed that none of our guests have listened to you yet?
I'm just saying, man, jumping onto your face and busting your eye open, having to get 17 stitches is
what not... up, though, Sonny? We see you in there from Galesburg, Michigan. What up, though?
Man. How much time we got left, Randy? Maybe like 5 minutes, maybe? Okay. Well...
So, talk about a 3-hour show in 5 minutes. How was it?
Honestly, man.
Quick, hurry.
No, honestly, it was a good show. It still had its things that needed to be fixed. One of the big ones, and I'll go the same route Devin just did with people getting hurt. Please, for the love of God.
Darby Allin.
No, not even George Darby Janella. Allin. Please move the fucking railing away from the ring because Pac about broke his fucking leg in half.
Pac, like, I don't know. Pac and Omega. I watched that match.
I don't know if you guys like could hear the thud so loud through the TV, but I shit you not, when his leg hit the metal, you could hear just that
stink. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah,
dude.
I think I'm like, with the production value getting better each show, get the regular barricades. Oh, don't just have the old metal.
I don't mind having those, but don't have them so close to the ring.
But then you can't get as many seats that way.
That's what I think. I'm like, substitute a little bit of seats for your.
I mean,
safety.
Dude, and then like the spot where was it Nick? It was Nick fell off the ladder.
He clipped
and
his leg.
Holy shit!
Yeah, that was scary.
Bro.
Did you see that one?
No, I only saw the
yes,
Omega.
There were a few.
Who was it? Was it Pentagon that was knocking the ladder?
Yeah, so they knocked the ladder
so
over.
So he's up
and
trying to grab him, and Pentagon knocks the ladder over to do the ladder spot. You know, he falls from the top of the ladder, jumps out of the ring, and falls to a table.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the ladder wasn't completely centered. The ladder was too far close to the rope. So when he falls, his ankle kind of clips the rope, and
he about missed
here's the table.
Table.
Here, Nick. And he just barely touches the table, and really, he ate shit on that.
Dude, it was
nasty.
And like from the vantage point of where I was, it was literally a straight shot to where I was at, and I'm just like, holy fuck, fuck. But all in all, man, the experience as a whole was fucking dope, man.
I'm so jealous.
Like,
man.
Yeah. If you guys haven't gotten to do it yet, check out our YouTube, man. We've got interviews up there with DDP, MJF, Nyla Rose. Best Friends, Dean Malenko.
SoCal Uncensored.
We didn't get SoCal, but
we
got
took
pictures
a picture
with him. But yeah, dude, they couldn't have been cooler. Thank you to past guests of the show, Dave Silva, for helping hook us up, man. Thank you to Derek, the one that was coordinating all the interviews, man. Thank you. And shout out to Big Swole, man. She's coming on the show real soon. She couldn't have been cooler. We're Crohn's buddies now. So, I mean... I'm not going to use...
Did you two just become best friends?
We really did. Yep. We literally... I shit you not, that's literally what we said. They were because Joe said that, and she was like, you don't understand. If you don't have Crohn's, you don't get it. Like, and it was so crazy, right? Like, you know, like, when we were sitting there, she's just, like, going into things, and I'm like, we're just going. And then Joe, I and Joe kicked it for a little bit, so she'll definitely be on the show real soon. Shout out to Kel and Andreas, man. They were really cool, too, with the Wrestling with Stereotypes. Mm-hmm.
If you guys haven't seen that panel, man, that I saw the first one in Vegas, ding. But the second one, man, it was everything that I thought it could be. And
more?
And just today, they announced that StarCast 4 is going to be happening November 7th through the 10th in Baltimore. So,
I don't want to get shot, so I don't want to go there.
Baltimore is not that bad of a city. Although, I will say, I went there for a UFC fight, and I literally saw like a wire moment happen. I saw
Stringer Bell?
I saw a drug transaction.
I know his name. I ain't seen the shit, but I know his name.
Fuck.
And see, man, what the fuck is up with these one word quotes? Like, come on, bro. Come on. I love you.
Inside joke.
It's an inside joke. A quote is a quote, not a oops.
But yeah, I might have to take some time off for Baltimore, man.
I might go. I mean, you bigger than me. You could be my bodyguard. You know, if they shoot, they're going to hit you before they hit me.
If I run, you run too. That's all you need to know.
Trust me. I'm fat, but I honestly save my energy up for bursts just like that. I live near Detroit, so therefore, if something happened, I'm out. I got a good 50 yards in me.
Also, man, we'd be remiss not to give a shout out to the boys from Breaking Down the Ring, man. They did their thing at StarCast as well.
Great interview with ODB.
I listened to that at work a little bit. That was pretty good.
Definitely.
Yeah, man, she couldn't have been cooler, and holy shit, her barbecue is good, dude. Like,
really?
I'm not kidding. Like, it was legit, and not like they weren't like little tiny ass portions either. Like, I got the pulled pork sandwich, and that bitch was like this, bro.
Wow.
Like, right. I mean, it was legit. It was legitimately good. So, like, I'm not just blowing smoke. Like,
for those of you listening on the podcast, his hands were a very nice distance away from each other.
I'm not kidding. Like,
this isn't the visual medium.
I mean, for those watching on Facebook, you saw that. But for those listening on the podcast,
I once caught a fish.
This big.
And one more time before we get out of here, since I didn't have the number up with me. You can also contact our sponsor, Stransky & Company, at 248-563-9449. Like I said, Stransky & Company, all their social medias, as well as if you want to send them an email, admin@stranskyandcompany.com. Follow them on all their social medias. And like I said, man, they're the real estate.
How do you spell Stransky?
Stransky.
All right, just wanted to make sure so people can find them. And buy a house, people.
Buy houses from them. Shit.
Definitely.
You can buy a house.
And they got,
we're getting ready to go to a recession. Look, you can buy a house.
Look, dude, we've been sharing we've been sharing out the houses they're putting out. Like, they're putting
nice house.
Yeah, man.
I mean, if I could afford a house, I mean, who can't?
I mean,
so get a house from them.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, I guess next week we have to talk more about all out. But who do
should we tell them? Hey, who our guest is? Yeah,
Bailey turned heel too, so that should happen.
Yeah.
Just to let you know. Casey Catanzaro, she quit. That should happen too.
So why don't we let them in on who our guest is? We just locked it down this morning. We've been telling you for a while we want to get more female talent on the show next week.
ABC?
No. She's still hoeing on us, but it's all good.
Hey, but make sure you go check out her fight this Saturday.
Yeah, oh, sure. It's out.
Is she going to show up?
Wow.
I think she'll show up for that.
But we're going to bring on Lindsay Snow from Shine. She'll be competing at Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 2. She's a tattoo artist. She trains MMA and jiu-jitsu. Plenty of shit for us to talk about.
And she's dating Shannon Moore.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then the weird thing is...
We just turned into TMZ.
Not if it's official.
No, I think everybody knows it, right?
Well, I didn't say it. I didn't mean it like
we,
that.
We're didn't see him coming out of a club.
I meant we're talking. I'm talking like, about we're talking.
Who
about
is Lindsay Snow dating? Next on TMZ.
So Harvey, what do you know?
But the weird thing, what's the guy's name? I can't think of his name right now. Who was
Buck Rogers?
Who was sitting with us at Shine? That said, she kind of looks like the female version.
Cody.
Cody. Yeah. Like, he literally said, like, she kind of looks like the female version of Shannon Moore. And then come to find out, they were dating. But, no, she's badass, great person. Next time she comes here, I might get a tattoo from her, man. I'm going to tell her to bring her kit with her.
Do you have any ink?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
I'll show you guys later. But, Kyle? Any last words, and then throw your social media out there?
Testicles. You can find me on Facebook and at Kyle J. Campbell. You can find me on Instagram at Team Chaos, KAYOS. You can find my other show, Wakanda Podcast Is This. That's WAKINDA. Podcast Is This. You can find our new episode coming out tomorrow on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, everyonewhocares.com.
Mr. Collis?
Testicles.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit Knockout. And make sure if you're in the Michigan area that you check our guest out this weekend, ROH Dearborn Ford Performing Arts Center. We'll all be there, so you should be there too. Make sure you're following the show at KO3CPod, at KO3CPod.com as well. And check out our YouTube. We got plenty of good content up there. More to come. Knockouts and Three Counts on YouTube.
And buy a house.
That too.
So next week is going to be officially my last episode.
Bullshit.
In studio until, you know, unless I'm, you know, visiting in town. So,
boo. Boo, Andy Testenberger. Boo.
Now, let me reiterate, just so that we don't get 105 messages about it again, just because he's not in the studio doesn't mean he's no longer on the show. Just exactly. So we can be clear, Devin will still be with us. The same in as spirit, he is now, he'll be over the phone or Skype or however that looks like.
We're gonna
get a fat head of him and set it right here with two IPAs and a Kango, and it'll look just like his ass.
I swear, Tony, I really tried to merge your call in.
He lied.
Oh, I thought he was actually on there. But no. Okay. But
he said fuck us a long time ago.
But we asked his question, so. But yeah, next week's gonna be my last week in studio as a Michigan resident. So
yeah, be careful out there in Texas,
man. It's hot as fuck down there, man.
Oh, I ain't talking about the heat.
Don't be getting bit by no rattlesnakes.
Oh, you talking about mass shootings?
I ain't talking about the heat on your head. I'm talking about the heat on your ass. Watch.
You talking about the mass shootings that happen every week down there now?
Yeah, that shit.
Fuck, man.
Stay strapped. Stay strapped.
Well, once I get my license switched over, they just hand you a shotgun. So, you know.
I thought once you cross the Texas border, they give you that and the cowboy hat.
Just ask Dave Silva. Dave Silva and Bruce know what's up.
Don't they hand you a like a shotgun and a bottle of whiskey when you?
Yes.
Yeah. And a hat. That's it.
Cowboy hat.
That's all you need.
He's going to trade in the Kango for a 10 gal.
I just got to find some Spurs in a size 15. But
do they put Spurs some on sandals
in the back?
I don't wear sandals, sir. I wear flops. There's a difference. But
he wears old man flops.
I don't wear old man flops.
Oh, you're talking about the rap ones that you see everybody's uncle at the barbecue? Oh,
not
okay.
Even Gucci flip-flops. You get them in the Kmart flip-flops.
Man, it's like the all-together sandals. So like, oh, so you the man on the grill then. So that means you good on the grill. You got to have a Bud Light next to you, too.
It's funny. I was literally grilling all day yesterday, man. But
well, fuck you, though. Thanks for the
and
invite.
And he didn't invite us, you fuck.
Well, make sure you guys get tickets to Ring of Honor this Friday. I will be
there. I'm staring at you. I like food, obviously.
I got you guys next time.
yeah, he's not going to be in next time because he's leaving. Time.
But, yeah, make sure you guys come to Ring of Honor on Friday. I'll be there. And then afterwards.
He treats everybody for barbecue.
No. Afterwards, probably going to get together at what used to be Rockstar's Karaoke Bar, which is now Renegades in Westland, Michigan. So if you want to come hang out, do some karaoke with me.
Holy shit, that's got to go on. Be watching our YouTube channel.
So ABBA, I'm guessing?
Holy
no,
shit.
No, it might be a little bit.
Are we going to get a Drunk Randy sighting, though?
Maybe.
Sweet.
Yes.
What? I promise I'll sing White Stripes 7
Watch
Nation
our YouTube.
But come on out to Ring of Honor. Come to Renegades. Come hang out with me afterwards. Great. And then I'm probably going to do something Saturday. Haven't made up my mind yet, but yeah. But
follow me because I'm off Sunday.
Sweet. Follow me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. Follow me on Instagram at AllSteak, No Sizzle. That's one word. Make sure you check out the Reality Era News page on Facebook where we talk wrestling. And
we're going to start limiting people's posts on the damn page, too.
Why? They post too goddamn. We'll talk about that later. Hey, buy a house.
Buy a house.
And fuck your
you
couch.
You can afford it.
Until next time.
The market is good.
Buy a house and fuck your couch.
And thanks again to PCO. Until next time.
Sticks and stones.
Peace.